Good morning. I am Laura Jackson, and I am here to talk to children or anyone who wants to be one today. So if you are in that category, please come up and, I got a little smarter, sit on the tablecloth, okay? The last time that I talked to you, I gave you Cheerios, and then we had to vacuum. So now we are sitting on a tablecloth, and you have to stay on the tablecloth to eat the Cheerios, okay? So the story last time was really about, well, was partially about my mom, and you don't care for any, okay, that's fine. My mom and how she managed some Cheerios rather aggressively with my little brother. Today is a totally different story about my mom and food. She's much happier with this one. But it starts off by talking about the church in Corinth. Oh, come on up. Make a little space, please, so that Spencer can join us. Thanks. Spencer, you want some Cheerios? There you go. All right. So the church that was established in Corinth was, you know, needing a little help. We all need a little help. And Paul went there, and he was working hard at talking about the good news to all kinds of places, different cities. And every Sabbath, Paul told people about Jesus. He found that the Gentiles, the people who didn't know everything about God already, were more interested in what he had to say. Sometimes we think we know everything, and then we don't listen anymore. How many of you have heard, like, your teacher or your daycare person say the same thing over and over and over? Anyone? Like, sit down, be quiet. Anybody heard that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've considered making a tape recording of myself saying that so I didn't have to keep doing it. But when you hear it over and over again, you kind of, you know, just sort of tune it out. But Paul was finding other people that were really listening to him. And so he met a lot of people, and then the Lord really spoke to Paul's heart and said, "Don't be afraid. I'm with you. Speak. Don't be silent. Many people in this city will follow Jesus." And so Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half. And that's okay. Well, you've quite taken care of that. All gone. He stayed there a year and a half. And then when he left, they still needed a little help. And so he wrote him a letter. And the letter is, not surprisingly, called Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the biggest thing he wanted them to get out of the message is about love. We should love each other. We should recognize God's love. And so then there's this, like, definition, okay, about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not haughty or selfish or rude. It is not easily angered. It does not keep a record or a list of when people do things that are wrong. I find that one very difficult myself. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always lasts. Love never fails. And so that's what Paul is trying to get the people in Corinth to recognize. This is what love looks like. But those are a lot of words, and I found that as a child. I'm like, that, what does that mean? Always patient, kind. I don't know how that looks. So there was a time that my mother made it really clear to me that she loved me. But that wasn't the plan. Like, she didn't get up in the morning and say, "Gee, how can I prove to Laura that I love her today?" That was not what happened. We sort of accidentally came upon a situation that she did something that was kind and generous and not very comfortable for her, and it involved food. When I was a kid, long, long time ago, we had a lot of people coming from Vietnam to the United States because they were escaping their own country. And so the church that we went to sort of sponsored a family. That meant we welcomed them, and we found places for them to sit and sleep and eat and work and clothes and all that stuff. So my mom, who had the biggest car at the time, loaded the family in, and we drove them all over the place. And then once the family was settled, they decided they would give us food. food, right? We're going to have a party. We're going to have a Vietnamese party. Now, many of you are much better eaters than I am, and you have grown up in households where you have learned to eat lots of different things. But that was not my life experience. We ate beef and potatoes and corn. You don't want any more? Do you want some more? You want some? Okay. So that we ate pretty much the same thing. And when we went to this Vietnamese party, no. There was no beef. There were no potatoes. I couldn't recognize this food. And it was, most interestingly to me, in a bowl like this. Can you hold this for a second? And the bowl was, here, hold this too, was full of soup. And Mrs. Tran passed out the bowls of soup, and she was so excited to share with us. She's very proud of this. This was delicious Vietnamese soup. And I looked at it. I've never seen this before, and I don't want to eat it. And you may remember the last time I was here telling you something that your parents wish I hadn't said. That when I was eating, I would just take the spoon and like I'm not really putting any in my mouth, but it looks like I'm eating, right? So that the people who are around me will say, oh, isn't that nice? She's being polite. Okay, so I did that. Again, not eating any of this soup because it was fish soup. And I'm sure it's good if you like it, but I was really distracted by what I could see in the bowl. It was very clear broth, and there were little fish bones floating and pieces of corn, and the part I really couldn't get past were the eyeballs. There were fish eyes in the bowl. That is exactly what I said quietly to my mother. This is gross. And my mother, taking a deep breath, who also, I have to say, mostly ate beef, potatoes, you know, those things, looked at the fish soup, and she looked at me, and she took a bite. And she took another bite. And my mother ate her entire bowl of fish soup. And then you know what she did? She traded with me. And now my bowl of soup is empty, and she's eating another whole bowl of fish eyeball soup. And I was amazed. I had never felt more loved by my mother in my whole life. I thought, who would do that for me? Who would eat this gross stuff just because she loves me? I was stunned. And it wasn't because she wanted to prove it to me. She just knew what I needed, and she loved me. And she's like, yep, this is what it means today to love. And so now that I'm an older person, and my mother and I still talk to each other quite a bit, when I have to do something hard for my children, she looks at me and says, fish soup, honey. I get it, right? Fish soup. Your parents don't have to eat fish soup for you, but I just want to remind you that they do things just because they love you and they're not trying to impress you. It's just how it really is. And that's how God is for us. He didn't set up, how could I prove to Gwen that I love her? He just loves you. And you and you and you and you and all of us, he just loves us. And so he does patient, kind, gracious things, can hardly help himself. All right, you're going to go talk to Jubal about how we can show love to other people. Leave your empty bowls here, please, and any stray Cheerios. Great. Thank you very much.